Scripture tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19, "So Elijah went from there and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him, and he threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come and be with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him, and he went back, and he took the yoke of oxen, and he slaughtered them, and he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant." Lord, thank you. We welcome you to Edge Church this morning. Thank you for being here today. It's great to see you on this special Father's Day weekend. And today we are wrapping up a series of messages called the Power Series. We've been looking at the prophet Elijah. And, you know, there's something special about the prophet Elijah. Everywhere Elijah shows up, the power of God is there. Elijah is fed by ravens at the Kerith Ravine. He prays and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. He prays again. Immediately a massive rainstorm comes. Elijah's raising the widow's son from the dead. I mean, Elijah is just synonymous with the power of God. The power of God. And every person here today needs the power of God in their life. The power of God is the thing that sustains us when we go through times of adversity. The power of God is the thing that gives us hope when we do not think that there is any. The power of God is the thing that helps us break addictions. The power of God is the thing that helps resurrect dead marriages. The power of God. We all need the power of God in our lives. And I love 1 Kings 19 in this text we just read, because in this story we see that Elijah is passing on the power to his protege by the name of Elisha. Now we're talking about two guys today, and they have similar names. But there is Elijah, who is the great prophet of Israel. He's the elder. And you have Elisha, the younger, who is the understudy, if you will. Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah is a little older, and he's about to pass on the power to Elisha, because in the coming chapters, Elijah is about to ride out into glory on a chariot of fire into heaven. And we see that he is passing on the power. You know, God has done some things in your life that are unique and special, and you need to pass on the power. You've learned things. You've walked through certain experiences. God has done things in your life. The power of God is never to be hogged. It is never just for us. It is always to be dispensed and distributed to others. So how can we begin to pass on the power just as the prophet did to Elisha? You know, all the way through the Bible, we see this idea of mentoring, or I like the word discipling a little bit more because it carries with it a spiritual connotation. And to mentor is a good thing, but to disciple means to mentor somebody in a spiritual way. And in the Bible, the word disciple means a committed follower of Jesus. And that's what we're all about here at Edge Church, to be a committed follower of Jesus, to disciple others. But throughout the scripture, we see this exemplified. Paul mentored Timothy and Titus, and Barnabas and Saul. Joshua had Caleb, and Moses had Aaron, and Jesus even had John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and Moses had Joshua and Aaron, and Elijah had Elisha, and Batman even had Robin, for crying out loud, you know? So it's all the way through the Bible. We need to be passing on the power to the next generation, the power of God. And I love 1 Kings 19 because it tells us, first of all, the Lord said to him in verse 15, "Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to succeed you as a prophet." Who should we look for to pass on the power to? The first thing that the Bible tells us clearly here in verse 15 is we ought to be passing on the power to those who God has put into our life. Those who God has put into our life. Now you may be wondering, well, who do I pass the power on to? Here's the first question. Who has God put into your life? Who's around you? Who's Whose path are you intersecting? And for Elijah, it was Elisha. And God just said, hey, look, there's this guy over there. His name's Elisha. And Elijah's like, yeah, I know Elisha. He's like, go get him. You know, teach him, train him, get him ready. You're old, Elijah. Listen, you don't have to be old to be able to train up other leaders and to be able to mentor and disciple people. You can do that as a young person. Age does not matter. And so Elijah, what does he do? In verses 19, he does exactly what the Lord said. So Elijah went from there. He found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him, and he threw his cloak around him. So he's like, hey, man, God told me to come over here and get you. And he's got this cloak, and you got another translation that uses the word mantle, which is a fancy word for cloak, you know. And in the ancient times, a prophet would wear a certain garment. You know, I'm not sure exactly what prophets wore, but they wore some type of, you know, toga, shirt, slash jacket. But it was a prophet's outfit. And when people saw him, they're like, he's the prophet of Israel, you know. I don't know if he had like a mink skin, you know, little collar or what it was. I don't know if he shopped at H&M. I'm not sure where. But, you know, Elijah was looking good, and he threw that cloak around Elisha. That was the proposal. Hey, I need you to come be my attendant. And we see in our own culture that you know, a lot of times you can look at people's clothes and you can tell a lot about them. You know, you can tell kind of who they are. And, you know, for me, the prophet of Edge Church, the pastor of Edge Church here, it's all about the pocket square and the skinny jeans, right? I know, like, I'm ready to do the work of God. You know, when I get my skinny jeans on and my pocket square, I'm like ready to rock for the Lord, you know? But there's other outfits, there's other attire that, you know, that says who somebody is. If you see somebody, a man wearing a full-length mink coat, you know that that's probably either Mr. Kendall, one of our church members here, or you know that's an NBA basketball player, okay? It's one or the other. Yeah. And so clothes say a lot about who we are. So Elijah takes the prophet's mantle, and he throws it over Elisha, and he summons him. And it's beautiful to see the power is being passed on to the next generation. Now, football season is about to start, and we're really excited about this year. We're really hoping the Broncos get one step further than they got last year. We got Peyton Manning as our quarterback, which is always a good thing. But, you know, Peyton Manning has been a championship quarterback probably because he's the son of Archie Manning, you know. His father was a great superstar collegiate and professional quarterback, a superstar. And Peyton and his brother Eli, how many families do you know where both brothers or two of the brothers both have Super Bowl rings and go to the Pro Bowl and are superstar quarterbacks like every year? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Peyton Manning is here, but Peyton started learning the game of football. I think his dad Archie had him in Pop Warner football at the age of 18 months, you know? He's starting to throw the ball, you know? And he grew up and he played football all those years, but he had his dad that was constantly teaching him, constantly training him. And he was mentoring him, and he was discipling him in the game of football. Now, I have great aspirations for my little boy. I want him to become a great basketball player. I really love the game of basketball. And so we have a 7-foot goal on our driveway. My little boy is 7 years old. He's still a little guy. We're working on the crossover dribble. We're working on layups. We're not really into three-pointers yet, okay? That comes later, but we're kind of working on some of the basics, you know, dribbling in between cones, and if you drive by our driveway on a Saturday afternoon, you will probably see us out there working on some of the fundamentals of basketball. But I have loved the game of basketball since I was a kid. I played in elementary school, middle school, and high school. In fact, I think we actually may have a picture of me in my high school basketball uniform. Yeah, what do you guys think? How about that? That was back in the day when the shorty shorts were in. How you like those? I know, I felt bad showing you guys that. I was like, church is going to be a little bit PG-13 this morning. We all wore the shorty shorts. I have boxer shorts that are more modest than that now, but that's what we wore back in the day. The tidy shorty shorts. They were polyester too. I'm telling you, they were not comfortable. It was not good. But I love the game of basketball. And I want my son to be a great basketball player. But listen, the most important thing as a parent is to pass on the power of God. If we have superstar athlete kids, or we have kids that make the honor roll every time the report cards come out, but they don't love Jesus Christ, then we have not done the most important thing as a parent. Because the most important thing as a parent, and I'll say to the dads because it's Father's Day, fathers, is to raise up kids who love Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing of all. And we cannot take our eye off the ball. Listen, I'm all about kids being good citizens. I'm all about kids winning awards and being smart and speaking multiple languages and playing all kinds of sports and winning accolades and all that. But listen, we cannot lose sight of the main thing, and that is a kid's relationship with the Lord. And I think the greatest legacy of a parent is to see their kids serve Jesus Christ, and then to see even their grandkids serve Jesus Christ. Because hopefully the standard that you've established will affect multiple generations. So who has God put into my life? Who should I disciple? Who should I mentor? Well, it starts with who's around you. Look around. Who did God put in your life? Your kids are obviously the first and foremost, but also God will put other people into our lives as well. And we love kids here at Edge Church. By the way, you're probably wondering, what in the world is that in the background there? That is a boat. We have a pirate theme for Wild Week, which starts tomorrow. And if your kids are not signed up, you ought to register them before you leave church today. Our Wild Week event starts at 6:30 tomorrow night. It runs Monday through Thursday evening for 2 hours, 6:30 to 8:30. We're going to be singing. We're going to be telling stories. We're going to be playing games for all of our kids that have completed kindergarten through fifth grade. It's just going to be awesome. And the reason that we do that is because we love the next generation. We want to pass on the power here at Edge Church. And so that's why we've got the pirates in the house. Maybe you've seen Peter Pan running around here, you know. People have thought, what is that? You know, well, it's related to this, okay. We don't just have people that usually just wear green tights to church. I mean, maybe, but there is a reason behind that. And that'll be this week. Our students just got back from our student camp. Our middle school and high school kids had a great week in New Mexico. And, you know, we're excited about seeing students serve and love Jesus Christ. So we spend a lot of time here at Edge Church passing on the power, and we should be doing that because Elijah passed on the power to Elisha. Now, we ought to be raising people up to do what we do. Now, Elijah's a prophet, and so it makes sense that he would train a prophet, you know? And if you're a business person, you ought to train Christian business people. And if you work in the children's ministry, you ought to be training up other children's leaders. And if you're a Bible study leader, you ought to be training up other Bible study leaders. I mean, we ought to be teaching people to do what we do. And, you know, a lot of times people see what we do. It's not just always what we say, but a lot of times it is what we do. And I believe that in my own life, some of the most powerful teaching moments have come as I have observed people that were ahead of me spiritually. I've watched their lives. I've studied their marriages. I've watched the way that they conduct their business and the way that they act and the things that they say. I've learned so much from that many times because discipleship is not just in a class. It's not just filling in blanks. Many times it's just observing and watching people live life, and we ought to live life with each other. Now, I love Paul. He says this in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, watch this. Pass on what you have heard from me to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. So you got four generations. You got Paul, and he's teaching Timothy, and Timothy is teaching other leaders who are competent to teach other leaders. That's the heart of Christian ministry right there, is that we would receive the power of God by the person of Jesus Christ, by our faith in him, and that we would be passing on to generation after generation after generation to faithful people. And we're looking, we're asking this question, who has God put in my life? So maybe you can even write in the margin of your paper today, hey, I would like to disciple. I would like to spiritually mentor so-and-so. God's put them in my life. Maybe there's a reason for that. And listen, I know some of us today are thinking, well, you know, Ron, I don't really know if I have anything to share. You don't. It's not like you have to be Yoda before you can disciple people. all you've got to do is be half a step in front of them. If you wait till you have every single question and every verse of the Bible understood, and you know, you just get to this level of perfection or whatever you think, you'll never train anybody. The way that you start to lead others is you just get involved. Man, you start doing the best you can. So don't discredit yourself quicker than you may think, because you may have a lot more potential than you believe you actually do. Here's the second thing to ask, okay? Not only who's God put in my life, but who wants to be committed? I'm telling you, I want to invest my life in people who are not goofy and silly and playing games. Elijah's like, I want to invest in Elisha. Elisha goes and he burns the plows, kills the oxen. I'm in. Look at this right here. Look at the scripture right here. So Elisha left him and he went back and he took his yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them and he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people and they ate and they set out to follow Elijah and he became his attendant. I mean, whoa. You want to talk about, first of all, an urgency. Sometimes it's easy to say, you know, I'll follow the Lord later, like at another time, you know, when things are better, when things are financially better, or when I feel better, or when I get this thing resolved, I'll kind of follow the Lord when all this works out. Elisha is like, okay, you know, I got the mantle, I got the oxen, I got the plows, let's burn the plows, let's kill the oxen, let's eat, and let's get on with this. There's an urgency there. I love to see Elisha. Elisha is committed, man. He's dialed in. He's fully devoted, man. I mean, he's just like, okay, man, Elijah, here we go. And a lot of times we straddle the fence, don't we? We like to put one foot in kind of the world, kind of our own way of living. We like to put another foot kind of over here with God. And then we kind of hop back and forth. It's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's like, ooh, Sunday, woo, you know. And then we're like, you know, back on the other side, whoa, and I'm about to fall over. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then I'm going to kind of do my own thing. And we just kind of bounce back and forth many times between being committed to our own way of living and doing our own thing, kind of flaky. You know, we live in a world of flaky people. Flaky, flaky, flaky. Corn flakes, gluten-free flakes, bran flakes. There's just flaky people all over the place. Let's be flaky. You know what? If you're half-hearted about your life, you'll never accomplish anything. Do you know that? Half-heartedness will never take you. People want to have the fruit of commitment, but a lot of times we're not willing to do what it takes to get there. You know? Can you imagine what it would be like if you were in school, and some of us are, if you showed up like 50% of the time? You know, I go to class on Monday and Tuesday, but the rest of the week, forget it, you know, working on my tan, whatever it is. Can you imagine what it would be like if you showed up at work when you felt like it? We all know there are days we don't feel like working. You wouldn't have a job. You'd be out on the street, wouldn't you? Kind of reminds me when my kids were little, they would poop their diaper and I would like look at the clock and I would count down. And if my wife was going to be home within like 2 or 3 hours, I would just hold out. You know what I'm saying? Holding down the fort. But listen, if you got little kids and they got a dirty diaper, you can't let that thing sit all day. That is not good. I tried it. I'm telling you, I know. You got to be committed. You got to be committed. You got to get in the game. So we have a lot of commitment issues, don't we? We live in a time where people don't want to be committed to anything. People don't want to be committed to a marriage. People want to have all the benefits of marriage, but they don't want to be committed to marriage. We live in a time when people want to be committed to very little. We reduce our spirituality to the lowest common denominator. What's the smallest that I can do for God and still be okay? You know, a lot of times that's the question we ask ourselves. That is not what we see in the life of Elisha. Elisha is called by the prophet. He takes immediate action and he loses his livelihood. He's been a farmer. He's been a small business owner. I mean, life is pretty good for Elisha. He's got 12 little sets of oxen. Verse 21 says there he has the yoke of oxen, and then he has the plowing equipment. So, you know, the kind of the implication, and many biblical commentators believe that Elisha had his own business and was doing quite well, by the way. In the ancient world, you didn't have a lot of people that worked for you, and he had at least 12. Maybe he had more, but he takes the equipment, the assets that he has, he burns them, and he follows the prophet. You know, when we begin to follow Jesus, there's some things in our lives that we need to burn. We need to burn some old mentalities, some old habits, some old ways of thinking. Maybe some old relationships need to be burned. When we follow the Lord, we got to go all in. Why did Elisha burn the plows? Because he wasn't going back. He wasn't going back. Elisha wasn't looking around going, man, I need a backup plan. Or, you know, if things don't work out with Elijah, I may come back home. And could you put this stuff in storage for me? He had no backup plan. His only plan was God's plan, and that was to follow Elijah. So who's committed? Who's committed? And maybe you're struggling with some commitment issues. If you are today, let's turn and follow Christ with all of our hearts. And you know, wherever Jesus asked people to follow him, he always did so publicly. He asked people for their time, their resources, and even their reputations. He did. He totally did. And you know what? It was all worth it too, by the way. If I haven't said that, it was all worth it. Totally worth it. I love the urgency there of Elijah and Elisha. And I love Luke 9:62 too. The scripture says this. These are the words of Jesus. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. If you're plowing a field, if you're a farmer and you've got your oxen pulling the plow, you've got to stay focused on the line that you are plowing. But if you are looking back over your shoulder, what are you doing? You're like wandering all over the place, right? I mean, you know, you're not going straight. Jesus said, that's no way to plow a field, and it is certainly no way to be a disciple. You cannot follow Jesus by looking over your shoulder saying, well, I wish that it could be like that, or what are they going to think, or I used to do it this way. When you begin to follow the Lord, you're looking ahead, and you're looking at the goal. So Jesus says, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We got to keep our eyes on the main thing. Here's the third thing. Who's willing to serve? Again, this is who am I going to pass the power on to? Who's God put in my life? And who is willing to serve? Who's willing to serve? I love this in verse 21. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. Verse 21 concludes. So Elisha has gone from the small business owner, he's got people working for him, he's got assets, to the intern. He goes to become the one that carries Elijah's suitcase, you know? I mean, it's not glorious. It's not a promotion. It's not a step up. Elisha doesn't bring his resume to Elijah and like, hey, man, could I make a little bit more? No, there is total humility there. There is an attitude to serve, an attitude to serve. And people who love Jesus want to just get their hands dirty and to serve. We have a saying here at Edge Church. It's anything, everything, or nothing. Anything, everything, or nothing. Whatever is required. If I need to give everything, I'm on it. If I'm not needed at all, then I'm okay with that too. Anything, everything, or nothing. What a great mentality, isn't it? You know, as we celebrate Father's Day today, God wants us to become spiritual fathers, spiritual fathers. You know, we live in a time where a lot of kids don't have a Christian home, a Christian influence. And we live in a time where a lot of kids don't even have dads at all. And that's why the church's ministry is so, so important right here. And you know, if you're a dad, you got your own kids, and that's kind of your starting place. But listen, I hope that you will be a spiritual father to many. The goal of every Christian man ought to be to have lots of spiritual babies, if you will. We ought to do that. We ought to be raising people up. We ought to be encouraging people. We ought to be training people. We ought to be teaching people. We ought to be praying for people. We should be involved in the game, and we should be looking for the kind of people that just want to serve. Because listen, when people want to serve, their heart is yielded to God. It is amazing how that begins to happen. Somebody who is humble is somebody that will want to serve. Somebody that's available, somebody that wants to serve. Somebody that wants to sit in the background and not do anything, not really an attitude to serve. Pour your life into the people that are looking for the power. Looking for the power. So Elijah summons Elisha, and Elisha sets out and follows Elijah and becomes his attendant. And I'm so thankful for people that have invested in my life. I remember as a college student, I was a junior and senior at the university, and my pastor at my church, and when I went to a large church, our pastor was very busy, but he spent time with me and a couple of other young guys that were going to be pastors at 6:30 on Thursday morning. We had Bible study. And, you know, if you're a college student and you're up at 6:30 for Bible study, you got to love the Lord, you know, for sure. And what a life-transforming experience that was for those 2 years. I'm still so grateful to that pastor for taking that time to invest in me and in the lives of other people. And we had it timed out at the dorm. We could leave the dorm at 6:21, and we could be at the church at 6:30. Just everything had to fall into, you know, perfect order. It was good, though. Great times. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for people who have invested in me so that I could become the leader that God wants me to become, so that I can invest in other people, and the same for you too. People have invested in your life. Listen, if you're succeeding in some way, somebody's invested in your life. Somebody has made a deposit into your own experience. Now, how are you going to pass on the power of God to somebody else? Pass on the power. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In other words, follow me as I follow the Lord. Now notice he doesn't say, just follow me. You know, that'd be a little bit prideful. He says, follow me as I follow Jesus, because ultimately it's all about him. You know, the rest of the story unfolds in the life of Elisha. Elisha goes on to do twice as many miracles as the prophet Elijah. Isn't that amazing? Twice as many. And you think the power of God was in the life of Elijah? Go read the story of Elisha. There's some wheels off stuff in there. It's pretty amazing. But it began when Elisha began to learn from the prophet Elijah. And the reason that Elisha became a Super Bowl prophet is because the leadership in the direction of Elisha. Listen, let's help our kids succeed. Let's help our church succeed. Let's help our community succeed. Let's help all around us to succeed by training and raising up and discipling new leaders to carry on the power of God.